percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
Big news this week. Super moon. Did you see it? Hey there. Good morning. Hope you got your coffee.
I got mine. Starbucks. Which cup is this?
One of the red ones. That narrows the focus. Yeah, there's another brouhaha over Starbucks cups. We're not going to get into it. Just drinking my coffee, enjoying the day, and checking out the UFO thing. UFOs across the supermoon. Of course, it was a supermoon, and it wouldn't be even more spectacular if it didn't have a UFO sighting. Okay, so there you go. It's going to be memorable because across two locations, they've got little UFO zoomers flying by. And of course, UFO blogger Scott Waring says, yes, this is it. It's a strange UFO orbit. It has a haze mist around it, which means, yes, it's real. That far away, that kind of stuff, you know, it's really hard to vet these kind of things. But Scott is on the case, and he'll be following that, I'm sure, along with all the other stuff. The other thing, too, though, is that not only was it a UFO sighting gold mine, oh, with the supermoon, getting two is, you know, better than one, the International Space Station, they've got another little flyby. And these are always fun because what happens is there will be a feed, the live feed, and some kind of incident, and then the live feed will be cut off. And there's always, or usually the response is, well, that was just the timing. It's nothing out of the ordinary. But it is consistent that when there is something really interesting floating by, like a little lightning flash with a orb going across the stream, that is when the interference comes in on the camera. So anyway, then the message says, please stand by. It's like, well, okay. Now, is that a tease or what? So there you go, the International Space Station. I like hearing from the astronauts, the guy who voted from space, and then they, when they send their pictures and stuff, it's and how they describe sleeping, you know, sleeping in the sleeping bag, you're just floating. The big news, Marilyn Monroe's happy birthday dress. How much do you think it went for? Any guesses? Yeah, million with a few numbers in front of it. 4.8. Guess who got it? I love it. Ripley's Believe It or Not. Believe It or Not, that's how much it sold for. So there you go. The dress, of course, if you look at it, this was back when it was really cool to kind of be a little more discreet in your weapon arsenal display. Okay? She did a good job. Amityville Horror House. Yeah, this is the one that inspired all sorts of movies, books, and ghost stories, and Frightening Nights, and, you know, all that. Found a buyer. And I, when I saw this, I was like, whoa. But most of the people around in the neighborhood, apparently, they just call it the Amityville Hoax. So they're not really impressed with the story and say that there's a lot more behind the scenes. Now, we've talked to a few people before who might discount that. And some of the ghost hunters say, oh, there's a story there. But the current owner said that, and that owner has had it since 2010, bought it for $950,000. It was listed for about $1.15 million then, and then she bought it. The one now supposedly is sold for about $750,000. It was on the market for $850,000, somewhere in that vicinity. So we'll find out more if that house ever comes back into public viewing potential or opportunity. About the Amityville house. You can do your Google on that because I'm not going to get it. That's kind of a dark story for this early in the morning. Fantastic Beasts. Where is it? Is it here? Yes, it is. Give me a clue.
It was like a ghost. I saw its eyes, shining white eyes, and it dove down underground.
Strange things going on all over the city. The people behind this are not like you and me. There's a hidden society. It goes back centuries.
Yesterday, a wizard entered New York with a case. A case full of magical creatures. And unfortunately, some have escaped.
Teeny, he brought Matt home.
That's Mr. Scamander. He's lost something I'm going to help him find.
We're going to recapture my creatures before they get hurt. They're currently in alien terrain, surrounded by millions of the most vicious creatures on the planet.
Humans.
Magical beasts are terrorizing Nomadges. When Nomadges are afraid, they attack.
Contain this, or it'll mean war.
Put this on.
Why would I have to wear something like this?
Because your skull is susceptible to breakage under immense force.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
I want to be a wizard.
Many of us echoing that sentiment. Humans, beware. They're frightening. Okay, no, I haven't seen that one yet. I did see Doctor Strange going to give this one a run for its money and Arrival. Yeah, so I can say slam dunk on both of those. Arrival got more positive reviews from the critics. And, of course, because of the comic element of Doctor Strange, there's a lot of dissent amongst the fans, the diehards, going, well, maybe not. But on screen, the CGI, the effects are really worth it. And I didn't see it in 3D, but it does. Not seeing it in 3D, now I do. Fantastic Beasts, of course, this weekend opening, looking to clean up at the box office and probably kick a little Doctor Strange potential. All right, now, the big viral of the week. If you missed it, this was absolutely fantastic. The cows trapped. The earthquake in New Zealand, the cows, and everything around them except for this small little teeny tiny island enough to hold a few cows is there. They did get rescued, and the people who went in had to get them a path once they found that the ground was solid away, and they said they were dehydrated, but okay. It is an epic picture. I'll post that Wendy's Coffee House blog spot. Now, coming up, I've got Tony Sicoria. This is an incredible story. He survived lightning strike and was just had music coming in his head. He had no idea. This music was on autopilot, and he had to figure out what to do with it. Tony Sicoria, my next guest, coming up on WendysCoffeeHouse.com.
Lights flickering, feeling an occasional draft. Afraid to go to the basement because it smells too ghastly. Let Eric's Energy do a whole house energy assessment to locate the energy-draining skeletons in your closet. Install quality conventional solar, geothermal, or other energy-saving technologies for a happy, comfortable home. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. ericsenergy.com. That's ericsenergy.com.
Unchained. Unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast corner of College and Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO, 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Next time with Kip Hartzell, The Atlantean Chronicles. This is book two in the series. His father was dying. He went to the hospital to talk to him, and his dad said, get a notepad. He thought he was going to dictate his will, but what he told him in the next 2 weeks was a story about how he had been living a double life. In flashbacks, he remembered life in Atlantis, a fantastic lifeline. If you missed the show, check out the blog and the podcast, WendysCoffeeHouse.com.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights
is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
The Christmas spirit lives in Weston. Join Father Christmas in Weston November 12th as he arrives to officially start the holiday season. He'll lead the children's holiday parade on Main Street and the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Carriage rides start at noon. Christmas carolers, refreshments, and souvenirs for the children all add to the festival spirit of this special occasion. Visit WestonMo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for details and check our calendar for other special holiday events.
Hey, baseball and softball moms and dads. Want to help your superstar stay in the game? BTL Academy just opened a brand new training and development center in Shawnee. Open to individuals and teams, the 17,000 square foot indoor facility boasts a regulation-sized turf infield, plus plenty of room for hitting and long toss. Coaches know it takes year-round training to be an accomplished athlete. Check BTLacademy.com for a complete listing of skill camps, clinics, and indoor leagues. Compete in the BTL Indoor 6-on-6 Baseball or Softball League. Hitting, pitching, catching, and fielding. BTL private instructors are available to help players hone their skills and overcome any weaknesses in their game. In today's youth sports environment, there is no off-season. BTLacademy.com, because the game is played between the lines.
Your dog can analyze holiday kitchen smells 40 times better than you can. So if this talent leads to trouble, get him to Rock Hill Pet Clinic in Brookside. Rock Hill Pet is a full-service small animal hospital with in-house lab services, digital radiology and ultrasound, even progressive techniques like laser therapy and acupuncture, all to help provide your pet with a happier, longer life. Poultry bones are dangerous for pets. Get your furry checked out immediately if his nose leads him astray. Contact Rock Hill Pet Clinic at 816-333-0973 or visit rockhillpetclinic.com.
This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Tony Sicoria is my guest this morning. He was struck by lightning. And the incredible thing about this is that, for one thing, there wasn't a whole lot of long-term damage. But what he came back with after that encounter is absolutely phenomenal. Hi, Tony. I'm Dr. Sicoria. Actually, you are a doctor. Hi there, and thanks for talking with me this morning.
Me?
Hang on with you for a minute. We're trying to get the audio from the studio into the room. I did hear him briefly for a second, and we know he's on the line. I can see the red light lit up.
And can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yay! We're good with that. Audio is one of our challenges in radio. If you don't have it, there's no show.
I understand.
All right. We played a little bit of your song. I don't know if you heard that from the Lightning Sonata. This is what I just wanted to share your story again. I've talked with you before, but I think this is so fantastic because people, you know, there's a thing, the near-death experience you had, wanted to go in with a little bit of that and find out how your life has changed because it's longer than an hour, but at least give us a clue.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, dive in.
You want me to start at the beginning?
Well, probably a few seconds after you were born would be helpful.
Okay.
Okay, let's skip ahead.
I started right around the lightning. I'm an orthopedic surgeon and have been for a long time. And I was at a picnic with my family and in August of 1994. And I was running a barbecue outside, and I stopped to go call my mother, who was not at the barbecue. And as somebody relieved me at the barbecue, I went and went under a pavilion where there was a payphone, and I wasn't paying attention to what was going on outside. And earlier it had been a beautiful sunny day, and somewhere in the middle of that it had changed, and I wasn't aware of it. And a thundercloud had come in over the lake that we were having a barbecue next to. And I went to call my mom, and she didn't answer the phone. And as I started to take the phone away from my face, the building got struck by lightning, and the lightning came out of the phone and hit me in the face and just blew me across the room. And I saw it happen, and as I was flying backwards, and suddenly I was moving forwards, and I was very confused, and I remembered standing there, and I'm looking at the phone dangling, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know I got hit, I saw that, and I know I was going backwards, but now I'm standing here, and it's not making any sense. And right then, my mother-in-law was screaming, and she was running down the stairs toward me, and I was at the bottom of the stairs. And as she got close to me, my initial gut reaction was, if your mother-in-law is screaming and running at you, it's not a good thing. And as she got right next to me, and suddenly she turned and went to her left, and I thought, okay. So I turned to see where she was going, and all of a sudden I'm confronted with my body lying on the ground about 10 or 15 feet away. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm dead. And as I stood there, I walked over to where everybody was gathering around my body, and there was a woman who had been waiting to use the phone, was starting to get down on her knees to do CPR. And it turns out she was a nurse, which is somewhat fortuitous. And I could hear everything. I could see everyone, but nobody could hear me or see me. And as I was standing there, I was absolutely struck by the fact that, oh, my God, I'm thinking like I normally do. I'm hearing people. I'm seeing people. I'm thinking the way I normally would, and in the same way that I would think. And I'm, as I was standing there and I'm watching everything they're doing, I came to the realization there was no point in standing here. But the realization that whoever I am, I always am. And whatever that shell is on the ground is nothing more than that. And as I turned to walk away, I thought I would go up the stairs to the where the party was up on the first floor. And as I started to go up the stairs, I was looking down the stairs so I didn't trip, and which was just what I always did. And as I got to the third stair, I noticed that my legs were starting to dissolve. And that was a bit disconcerting.
Yeah.
And as I got to the top of the stairs, I had lost all form and was really just a ball of energy, if you will. But I'm still thinking, and I'm still experiencing all of this, but in a very dispassionate way. And at the top of the stairs, there's a second flight that goes up to the left, but I just went through the wall, and where I came through the wall, I looked down, and although there must have been about 30 people in the room, and I went directly over my wife, who was sitting on a couch painting children's faces, and I remembered where everyone was and what they were doing. And then as I went diagonally through the room, when I got outside was when things really got interesting. Because as soon as I got out of the building, it felt like I had dropped into a river of pure positive energy. And it felt like if you could imagine swimming in a crystal clear stream with the light pouring through it, and it was a sparkly bright light with some blue coloration to it. And I thought, okay, this is pretty strange. But the thing that was overwhelming about it was that there was only two sensations that were absolutely deafening about it, and that was absolute love and absolute peace. And there wasn't anything else in that feeling or in that light. And as I was floating in this river of pure positive energy, I could suddenly see that this energy that I was feeling and seeing was what we would call love, and that energy flows through everything, and everything is made up of it. And it was an incredible feeling, and I remembered seeing some kind of a brief life review of high points, low points, but nothing in depth. It was just kind of a collage of pictures that flew by. And at that point, I remarked to myself, this is the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody.
Yeah.
And I was just ecstatic that wherever I was going, it was going to be a pretty cool thing to go to. And as I was traveling into this river of pure positive energy, as I called it, it had speed and direction. So I was accelerating someplace, but I didn't know where I was going, and it wasn't getting hot. So I was happy about that.
But that was your clue.
Yeah. But then as I got to the point where I was just euphoric about how great this was and where I was going, all of a sudden it was like somebody snapped their fingers and I was back in my body, and it was painful. It was, I had a burn mark on my face and a burn mark on my foot where it went out, and I was angry that I had to come back. I remember lying there thinking, God, don't make me do this. Don't make me come back. But it wasn't up to me. And so I remembered lying there, and I'm still unconscious, but I'm still thinking. And throughout all of this, one of the things that I was struck by was that the consciousness of who we are is permanent. We are always the same. And whatever happens to us on the earth is really has nothing to do with the main purpose for us being here. I mean, our spiritual self is always, and that's hard to comprehend in and of itself.
Hold on, Tony. Hold on. We're gonna have to take a break for news and some commercials here, but I want to come back and talk and pick up that. Because okay. that is the mind-boggling thing, being that little orb, that little light, and having all of the same awareness you would have as a physical body, and then how the music factors into this, and dealing with Oliver Sacks, who helped you kind of reconcile some of that. Okay, so in the next break, we're going to pick up where we left off. Tony Sicoria, you can get the Accidental Pianist and Composer's CD on Amazon, okay? So if you're listening, you want to check it out. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break and come back and find out more about an extraordinary experience of being alive and dead at the same time from Dr. Tony Sicoria on Wendy's Coffee House.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city.
The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income, underserved neighborhoods. To date, The Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit
CBS News Update. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, Kansas Congressman Mike Pompeo as CIA Chief, and retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn as National Security Advisor. All have been chosen to be part of a Trump administration. More discussions to be held today at a Trump golf facility in New Jersey. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
President-elect Trump will continue his busy pace of meetings this weekend, not just with potential cabinet members, but with people who can provide advice and guidance to the incoming administration. Officials say the president-elect is committed to an inclusive government with input from supporters and people who didn't support him.
Correspondent Major Garrett says one familiar name pops up today on the Trump agenda.
The president-elect will meet with 2012 GOP nominee and harsh critic Mitt Romney. We are told the president-elect harbors no acutely hard feelings and likes the symbolism of party unity. But we're also told a cabinet position for Romney is, well, extremely unlikely.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Beck.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
Cold weather settles in overnight, but the skies will clear out. Northwest winds stay pretty brisk at 12 to 18, 28 degrees in the morning. Saturday, mostly sunny skies. The wind lets up and the high climbs to 47. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Amble.
The Christmas spirit lives in Weston. Join Father Christmas in Weston November 12th as he arrives to officially start the holiday season. He'll lead the children's holiday parade on Main Street and the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Carriage rides start at noon. Christmas carolers, refreshments, and souvenirs for the children all add to the festival spirit of this special occasion. Visit westonmo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for details and check our calendar for other special holiday events.
Goats may have discovered its magical benefits first, but we humans got on quick. Imported directly from the source, Revo Cup boasts authentic Ethiopian coffee beans hand-picked and naturally dried by the sun. Single-origin coffee beans gathered by Ethiopian families, expertly ground and brewed at Revo Cup. Isn't it time you experienced coffee as it was originally intended? Visit Revo Cup at College in Quivira and Revo Cup South 135th in Quivira.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. Weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, 1, 2. Testing, testing.
KCMO, Kansas City.
Notes from an accidental pianist and composer, Dr. Tony Sicoria, my guest this morning on Wendy's Coffee House. He's the only orthopedist who has to work the schedule around the practice time. Okay, we go back in to where you were talking about finding out that you exist. And believe it or not, I've had the same experience, only it was meditation. And in the middle of a meditation, I saw myself hovering as a yellow ball above my body. This wonderful, looked like a little sun, energy, electrical thing. And then I'm at this third point of view where I'm looking at my body lying on the bed, seeing this little orb, yellow sun thing, and knowing, oh my gosh, I'm in three places. Who am I?
whoa. And it was just that moment of knowing I was in and out and beyond that gave me a whole different perspective. And that was back in, what, I think it was 87. And so that, for me, drove me to interview and connect with people like you who have these incredible stories and can tell them better than I can. So you are right now recovering and getting out of your out-of-body experience. So pick it up from there, and then we find out how the music comes in.
Okay. So as the CPR was successful and I was regaining consciousness, police came and they wanted to take me to the emergency room, and I refused. I just wanted to go home to see my own physicians. And so I did that, and for the first week afterwards, my thinking was very clouded. And luckily, I was off that week anyway, so it made it easy to recover. I went and saw my physicians, and everybody said, well, with lightning, you're either alive or dead, and you're alive, so count your blessings and keep going.
Have a nice life, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a nice day. And so as it turned out, you know, I was dumbfounded by the whole incident, and I was really struck by what had happened, and it wasn't making any sense. And after the first week, my thinking cleared up, and I didn't feel like an old television set that you had to hit on the side to make the tuner work. But and then about a week after that, excuse me, I started to have this insatiable desire to hear piano music. And it was very specific. It was classical piano music, and which was very foreign to me because I grew up as a kid of the 60s, and rock and roll is about anything, all I listened to.
Yeah.
The only piano exposure I had was when I was 7 years old, my mother made me take piano lessons for a year, which I did reluctantly and then quit.
Been there, done that.
Yep. Had absolutely no desire to do that. You know, baseball and fishing and all of the fun things were much more important to me at that time. But it was such a strong feeling that I was actually driven to get a CD. Now, where I live is out in the boondocks, so there's no place locally that I could have even gotten it. I had to drive to Albany, New York, which is about an hour away, to find some place that had a CD of classical piano music. And when I walked in, there was a CD that just jumped into my hands, and it was Vladimir Ashkenazy playing his favorite Chopin. And I was so struck by it, I played it all the time. I played it when I was driving, I played it at home, I made everybody listen to it, and everybody at work, and I think everyone was sick of it. Mm-hmm. But out of that listening, suddenly, within a couple of weeks, there was a realization that listening wasn't going to be enough. I needed to learn, I needed to play this music. And I thought, okay, that's going to be a problem, because I don't have a piano and I don't know how to play. And the next day, one of our babysitters came by and said, I'm moving, and I was wondering if I could store my old upright piano at your house for a year until I get settled.
Incredible.
And I thought, okay, this is pretty strange. I think about a piano and suddenly one appears. And so but I didn't know how to play, so I bought some books on learning how to play. And I would get up usually at 4:30, and I would practice trying to teach myself until I had to go to work at 6:30. And I did that for a couple of weeks, and one night I have a dream. And in this dream, the dream was like an out-of-body experience. I was walking out onto a stage, and I'm walking toward myself, and I'm playing in a concert hall. And as I'm walking along, I'm going, okay, this is really strange. That's me at the piano, and I'm playing music. And suddenly the realization came to me that this is not someone else's music. This is mine. And so I really was paying attention to what the music was. And I walked up and I stood behind myself, and the music had a loud crashing ending to it. And it woke me up out of a sound sleep. And I remember sitting up on the edge of the bed, and I looked at the time, and it was 3:15 in the morning. And I walked out to the piano, and I tried to plunk out some of the melodies that I had heard, but I didn't know how to write anything, and I couldn't play it, so I went back to bed. And I thought, okay, there's no point in wasting more time doing this because I'm tired and I need to get up in a little while. And so I went back to bed, and when I got up, then the music would play in my head, which seemed to be incessant. And whenever I sat down at the piano to try to do my lesson, the music would start playing. And I would try to write down little snippets of it on pieces of paper. And this process went on for quite some time as I was trying to teach myself. And I had gotten the music from the CD, and that my goal was to be able to try to play some of that. And so I had started on that adventure as kind of like a wounded warrior. And as I was writing down little pieces of it, I would throw it into a drawer because I had no idea what to do with it. But if I didn't pay attention to the music, it was like a little two-year-old. It would constantly interrupt me, and it would start playing when I didn't want it to, and I'm trying to concentrate at work or I was doing something else. And so I went along this pathway for quite some time, until one day I was trying to play a piece of music, and I couldn't understand why it wouldn't work. And one of my daughter's friends was over, and her mom is an accomplished musician. She happened to be picking her up, and she heard me playing, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I was trying to learn this piece of music called the Fantasy Impromptu." And I said, "I can't make the hands line up." And she said, "They're not supposed to. It's a polyrhythm." And I just looked at her, and I said, "What's a polyrhythm?" And she said, "It's time you get a teacher. I'm not even going to try to explain this to you." So she recommended somebody, and I started taking lessons. And what was good was that my teacher was trained at Juilliard and taught there for a while as well, and was at the time was the chairman of music department in Hartwick College, which was in my town. And Sandy McCain, her name is, anyway. Mm-hmm. So she started teaching me, and she would help me to formulate some of the things that I was hearing from the music in the dream. And I would write something, and she would say, "What you're playing is not what you've written." And so I went through this process, and I was trying to learn that music as well as learn everything else. And it wasn't until 2006, I had started going to a music camp for adults in Bennington, Vermont, called the Sonata. And it's a week-long camp for people who love piano music, and it's a pretty neat experience. And in 2006, when I went, there was a lady there, Erica Vanderlyn Feidner. Erica was the number one Steinway salesperson in New York City at the time, and she had left and gone to Bösendorf for pianos, and she had six of them on display at the camp for people to play. And I got talking to her, and I was telling her the story about the lightning and everything else. And then after that camp was over, I went home, as I normally would. And when I was talking to her, she said something interesting. She said, the only person that can tell this story is Oliver Sacks. And at the time, I really didn't know who Oliver Sacks was. and I'm embarrassed to say that.
That's okay. But hey, Tony, hold on. We're going to take a break. Oliver Sacks, we're going to pick it up with Dr. Sacks, and then we have about 5 or 6 minutes after that. But this is the story that Tony's telling here. You can hear him play the Lightning Sonata at the Mozart House in Vienna. There's a video on YouTube. Check it out. In the meantime, we're going to come back where Oliver Sacks kicks in and find out a little more about how you reconcile something like this in your life when it completely derails everything from fishing and playing and takes that piano music you tried to get away from when you were, 7 or 10. Right back to front and center on Wendy's Coffee House. Stick around.
Your dog can analyze holiday kitchen smells 40 times better than you can. So if this talent leads to trouble, get him to Rock Hill Pet Clinic in Brookside. Rock Hill Pet is a full-service small animal hospital with in-house lab services, digital radiology and ultrasound, even progressive techniques like laser therapy and acupuncture, all to help provide your pet with a happier, longer life. Poultry bones are dangerous for pets. Get your furry checked out immediately if his nose leads him astray. Contact Rock Hill Pet Clinic at 816-333-0973 or visit rockhillpetclinic.com.
Hey, baseball and softball moms and dads. Want to help your superstar stay in the game? BTL Academy just opened a brand new training and development center in Shawnee. Open to individuals and teams, the 17,000 square foot indoor facility boasts a regulation sized turf infield, plus plenty of room for hitting and long toss. Coaches know it takes year-round training to be an accomplished athlete. Check btlacademy.com for a complete listing of skill camps, clinics, and indoor leagues. Compete in the BTL Indoor 6-on-6 Baseball or Softball League. Hitting, pitching, catching, and fielding. BTL private instructors are available to help players hone their skills and overcome any weaknesses in their game. In today's youth sports environment, there is no off-season. BTLacademy.com, because the game is played between the lines.
Stressed out and need a little bit of a timeout? You've heard me talk about Floating Casey before, but I want to give you some more details. If you're thinking it might be a little tank and you're worried about being claustrophobic, no, that isn't the way this works. These are float rooms, zero gravity float rooms. You can check it out. They're in Waldo in Kansas City, and find out more at floatingkc.com. Overstressed, need a little extra TLC, relaxation, no interruptions, no sounds, completely, totally stress-free. Try Floating KC.
Unchain, unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast corner of College and Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Wendy's Coffee House, 6 a.m. Saturday mornings on Talk Radio KCMO. Shows in the archives now include Doug Hayes. He survived an incredible accident that left him paralyzed from the neck down. He survived, recovered full mobility, and an ability to heal. Jeffrey Mishloff, the PK man. Ted Owens is deceased, but the legacy he left behind is incredible. Did he have extraordinary PK powers? The PK man. Ted Owens, Jeffrey Mishloff, that show also in the archives. Check them out at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
FM 103.7 and AM 710.
It's outrageous. Shame on you.
KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
My guest on Wendy's Coffee House this morning, Dr. Tony Sicoria. And the story that it took him after, he's at this point, he's a surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, and that's his life. The lightning strike changes it. 12 years later, he's playing a classical pianist level of music. It's like, whoa. And at the same time, I want to go back, and because I think from what I read, you were really convinced that the music was your reason for coming back, and you work with Oliver Sacks, who's an extraordinary man, the man who mistook his wife for a hat. Some of his stuff is fantastic. I was a fan of his, and he checked out before I had a chance to interview him. My name was on that list. Anyway, so that's how I found you. Okay, Tony, pick it up from Dr. Sacks, or Oliver Sacks.
Okay, so I had gone back home. And in August of that year in 2006, I got a call from Oliver Sacks' office. And Oliver wanted to interview me. He had a whole collection of patients that he was getting together who had had unusual accidents or tumors or seizures or one thing or another, and they had all developed some sort of unusual ability, and he was interviewing all of them, and he wanted me to be one. And so I went down to New York City and spent the day with Oliver, which was absolutely an incredible experience. And probably the most profound thing out of that meeting was at the end of the meeting, when I was standing in his door saying goodbye to him, he looked at me right in the eyes, and it seemed like he was looking right through me, and he said, "The music from the dream went through an awful lot to get here. The least you can do is write it." And I was so taken by that. When I got home, I bought a program called Sibelius, which is kind of like writing music for dummies. And I pulled out all those little pieces of paper that the ideas were written down on, and I started putting it together. And it took me about 7 months of working nonstop at night after work to actually get the piece written. And then each year I would go to my Sonata music camp, and in 2007 I played it for the first time to an audience of people, to test it out, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I got a phone call from Oliver, and he said, "You know, I wanted to use your story in my book, and would that be okay?" And I thought, "Oh, sure, why not?" He said, "Well, good, because it's going to be in the New Yorker. The first chapter is you, and it's going to be in July 23rd magazine." And I thought, "Oh, okay."
Welcome spotlight.
So, yeah. So I wasn't quite ready for that, but
yeah.
And so, but it was, you know, it was too late to turn back, and all of that had already happened. And when the New Yorker came out, then the phone started ringing, and the local college here, State University of New York, has a performance theater called the Goodyear Theater, and they had asked me if I would consider actually teaching a class. And I thought, sure, that would be really interesting. And so I said I would, but then a couple of weeks later, they said, "Well, you know, there seems to be an awful lot of interest in this. Would you consider playing for the students?" And I thought, okay, sure, why not? And then when Oliver's book came out in October, they called back again and said, "We really would like you to give a concert." And I said, "But I've never done that before. I have no idea how to get ready for something like that." And they, you know, the person I was talking to said, "Oh, it'll be fine." And I thought, okay. So I agreed to it. And then on my birthday in January of the following year, in 2008, I gave my first concert in a public forum, and it was complicated by the fact that somehow the BBC was there, and Granada Media and German television, and there were more cameras television crews, and I was absolutely petrified. But the music was bigger than I was. And I knew that, and the music was really an important part of everything, of what my experience was at that time, because I really felt like the music was the reason I was brought back. There's something in the music and in the experience that I needed to share with everyone else.
I have a question, Dr. Sikoria. Okay, so this is... The question is there anything else that goes along with that? Because just hearing your description of being outside your body and knowing that you still existed without the physical form was a little chunk of gold, okay?
Absolutely.
Is there more that, beyond that?
You know, the things that I came away with from that were that whoever we are, we always are. Our spirit is eternal. And we come into this experience, and we keep coming to this experience. And this is kind of like our proving ground, if you will. We come here, we experience, we go through life, and then we go back to the Creator, and we identify things that we have to work on, and we come back and we go through it again and again and again. And it's, in some way, we have memory of these things. And somewhere in one of my previous existences, I have done music. And so there, I had some recollection of being able to do it, but it was clearly the music was given to me from heaven, if you will, wherever and whatever heaven is. But it was clearly given to me in one big package, and I was given the task of getting it out and spreading the message that life is more than some of its parts. I mean, we have an eternal being within us, and you know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we're nothing more than a shell of what's really inside. And that's an incredible thing to have learned in this lifetime, to know that, you know, we're not alone. We're always loved. We're always part of something bigger than we could ever imagine. And there is a reason for going through all of this. I mean, the whole point of everything is to become one with God, one with the Creator.
We're going to have to go, Tony. it's awful having to pick up here. This is like a potato chip, and somebody's taking the potato chip bag away from you. I love your stories, and I hope
that's a great analogy.
I hope you're working on a book. I got 30 seconds to wrap. I want to thank you so much and encourage anyone listening to listen to his music, read the story. There's tons of stuff on YouTube and Google, so track it down. And if he will write a book, we'll get him on again. All right, Dr. Sikoria?
Very good.
Thank you.
Love to, Wendy.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, and thank you for listening. Remember, stay curious. There's a whole lot more going on here than we can see. Just feel it with your heart. See ya. Bye. Check out wendyscoffeehouse.com.